From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles agreed yesterday to a $660 million settlement in a clergy sexual abuse case, according to attorneys for more than 500 plaintiffs in the suit. It is by far the largest payout in the child molestation scandals that have shaken the Roman Catholic Church to its core. The case was scheduled to go to trial tomorrow morning, but lawyers and church officials worked long into the night Friday to reach agreement. Reaching settlement was a hard slog for all involved, especially the victims. Stephen Sanchez is one of them.
The more you tell your story, the more you've taken some of the guilt or shame that you feel and dropping it off on the church. Let them carry it around for a while. I carried it around for 30 years.
Joining us to discuss the settlement is Thomas Roberts, editor of the National Catholic Reporter. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a huge payout, far larger than the settlement in Boston. The L.A. settlement means that each plaintiff can expect over $1 million each. Why so much?
Everyone was waiting for the results in Los Angeles. This was a long fight, and of course, they tried to open up the possibility for victims from across the board and from a long time back. I think it's just a cumulative process, and the settlements were around the country getting larger and larger, and I think there's also some real incentive in Los Angeles to finally fix this and get it done. And I think there was even some preparation. We've reported that the Archdiocese was planning to sell its high-rise headquarters and a number of other properties, so there seems to have been some preparation for this.
So why did the church settle rather than go to trial?
I think if you look at the history, you know, of how dioceses have handled these cases, there's often a tipping point that occurs just as matters are going to court. And we know that in court, anyone, including cardinals, can be called to testify, and documents can be subpoenaed without much discrimination. So that's often the point at which settlements are reached.
So the cardinal essentially did not want to testify?
I don't think so. I don't think he wanted to testify, and I don't think the church wanted other members of the hierarchy, local hierarchy, to have to testify. And I don't think they would want to deal with what would have been, I think, just massive requests for documents.
Let me ask you about the documents, because as part of the settlement, Cardinal Roger Mahoney agreed to release personnel files of the accused priests, and he had vigorously contested releasing those documents at first. So why did he change his mind?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't spoken to him, and I don't know his mind, but I can only speculate from a distance that the Archdiocese and its legal team determined it was better to allow a judge to determine what would be released versus having to deal with subpoenas and then the possibility of seeing the cardinal and other members of the local curia in open court having to testify.
How would you judge the cardinal's actions in this case? Because, you know, he met with many of the victims over the years, but many of them also accused him of being intransigent.
Yes. I think that Cardinal Mahoney represents, in his, you know, long involvement with this issue, the tension between the pastoral and the legal approaches to this problem. One approach wants to extend a hand of healing and understanding and get things on the table and say, we're sorry for what we did. The other one, with lawyers in the background, says you can't say or concede too much because they'll sue you. And the irony, of course, in this case, is that in taking a legal approach from the very start, in an attempt to protect its treasury and reputation, the U.S. Church has seriously damaged both, I think.
How badly will the financial settlement hurt the Archdiocese of Los Angeles?
We've seen across the country in other instances where Catholics, there's a drop in fundraising, there's a drop in contributions in the Sunday basket and all of that, and then it begins to rebound because Catholics, I think, are just weary of this and want life to be normal again. But I think within the community, there's a larger issue. I think that at an essential level, the community has been harmed. At its very basis of its existence has been compromised. First by the sex abuse scandal itself, but I think more profoundly as time went on, in the deep betrayal of the community by its leaders. We're a community that has a sacramental system, and part of that sacramental system is dealing with reconciliation and forgiveness. And what we say to ordinary Catholics is that you have to name the sin, and you have to be accountable for it, and then forgiveness and reconciliation can occur within the community. And that's not happened. We've had a lot of bishops saying, we're sorry that people were abused and that this happened and that mistakes were made. But not yet has one come out very boldly and said, Church, this is what was done in your name. This is when we went into the treasury and secretly paid out money for silence. This is how we came to the decision to transfer priests secretly and not tell you. And I think until that kind of confession is done, to let the church know what was done in the name of the community and And I think then, once that happens, the healing will be rather swift and profound. But until then, the church will continue to function and it will go on. But I think there is a level of trust and goodwill that's really been damaged deeply.
Thomas Roberts is the editor of the National Catholic Reporter. Thank you so much.